Welcome to the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast, featuring advice and interviews about athlete branding. Learn how marketing, public relations, and broadcasting can grow your brand. We also have special episodes to talk about recent news, events, and anything in the world of sports. The podcast is sponsored by Pliable, a versatile marketing, PR, and broadcasting company that identifies opportunities and creates tailored content for its clients. Now it's time to roll. Here's your host, Greg Glenn.
Thanks, and welcome to the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast. In this episode, we're ready to roll with a Pliable athlete. Alyssa Bork is in the house. We're actually at her house here at the Bork household, and she joins us today. Alyssa, of course, is a Pliable athlete and is at the University of Vermont, and she has had a terrific freshman year and is going to tell us all about her decision to go to the University of Vermont and her time at Lawrence High School as well. So, Alyssa, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Greg. It's good to be here. Yeah, my decision to go to Vermont was pretty, I feel like I knew it early on before I even committed. There was lots of schools that reached out to me or I reached out to them, and I was in communication with so many different ones. But my parents always told me that, you know, don't make your decision based on a monetary value. Look at it from the bigger picture, where will make you happy, was a big one they always told me. And I think as soon as I visited Vermont, I knew that I would really be happy there and I would fit in well. So I think that's a big reason why I chose Vermont, and I think my decision was a good one. I love it there and I'm super excited to go back already. I think it was very different from Lawrence High School, obviously. It's such a small school in the middle of nowhere in Maine. And even though Burlington, Vermont is kind of in the middle of nowhere as well, it's a much larger community than Lawrence was, but still love both, and I feel like I grew and am growing in each one.
Perfect. Well, I think that, you know, you obviously made a right decision, and it has to feel good too to know that, you know what I mean, and feel good about it. Obviously, there's a lot of kids now that are transferring in the transfer portal and things like that. So now growing up, obviously there probably weren't a lot of javelin superstars to look up to. Talk about what got you into javelin.
Yeah, definitely not a lot of superstars to look up to, especially in Maine. I sort of was just started track, and I was like, I have no clue what this sport is. I don't want to be running all the time. Like, Mom, this is not fun.
Yeah.
So then I took up sprinting because it was much less running. And then one day at practice, I remember we were outside and I saw somebody throwing right in the middle of the track in the green. And I was like, what the heck? I want to do that. That looks cool. And I knew I had like a good arm growing up because I was always playing baseball with my brother. And so we were always playing pats or something. So I knew I could throw somewhat. And so I just picked up a turbo jab, is what they're called when before you get to the actual big javelin. I picked that up one day at summer track, and I was like, this is fun. I could probably do this. And so I just started throwing it around, and then coaches came over, and they were like, Alyssa, what are you doing? This is how you hold it. This is how you throw it. This is how it works. And so from then on, I really never put it down. And then in high school, we transitioned to the javelin, the bigger one. And that was definitely a harder transition, and everybody says it's totally different throwing techniques, which it definitely is, but it sort of carried over for me, and I really enjoyed it and worked out well.
Yeah, it definitely did. I want to talk about, you know, certainly the opportunity that you had to obviously try javelin, to do that, and now how you've kind of turned that into an opportunity academically as well, because we talk about, you know, there's maybe, you know, opportunities outside of javelin that you're looking at, and that's why you, again, going back to your decision to choose UVM, you have aspirations to be a doctor. So talk to me about that.
Yeah, I think another reason why UVM was such a good fit for me is because it does have such a strong program in so many different categories, and it also has a medical school right on campus. And I knew that an option for me was that I've always thought about being a doctor, considering it. And so that was another good fit for me. Out of track and field, I've always loved school and like taken pride in my academic abilities. And so I continue to do that in college and hope that I continue to school for hopefully a long more time, at least 8 more years.
Well, you got to love it too, right? I mean, that's the thing. Obviously, you were very successful, 4.0 in high school. And so you have to love the academic part, especially if you obviously want to be a doctor. So I think that's really unique. And talk to me about where maybe your work ethic came from, you know, to work so hard in school.
Yeah, I think work ethic is such an important thing. I think my parents definitely instilled that into me in a young age. I've seen them working hard since I was born. You know, my mom's in the hospital scene at work, and so she would always come home and tell me stories about what happens at the hospital and what goes on, and I always thought that was super interesting. And she was a college athlete as well, so to see her thrive and take on that big challenge of college athletics while also pursuing a tough career is really inspiring, and watching her work ethic growing up has definitely led me to the person I become today.
Now, you didn't go down the basketball road like she did. I know there's still a little bit of that going around up here. You know, there's no basketball stars in the family. Obviously, your sister, tremendous ice hockey player, lacrosse player. You go and, you know, successful in track. Talk to me about your mom and, you know, even going to UNE playing basketball. It was a completely different world than it is right now for athletes that are, you know, involved in college athletics.
Yeah, very different. I remember she would tell me when I was going through the recruitment process, she would compare it to her recruitment process. She's like, Alyssa, it's totally different now. Like, I wish I could help you, and especially track and basketball, just such different sports. She would tell me how different it was and that she wished she could give me some advice or, like, be like, this is what I did when I was your age. But not so much help there, but definitely help and, like, support and encouragement. But yeah, I think one similarity is, though, that when she was playing college basketball, her mom would bring her cookies after every game. And when I do track this past year, my mom brought me cookies after every track meet. So there is still some similarities in the family there, but a little different for sure.
I like that. That's a good story. And so then as you look at, obviously, recruiting now, you know, we talk about how it was different than obviously you're seeing your sister, Kaylin, go through it right now. Have you been able to kind of help her a little bit with the process?
Yeah, I think I'm sort of just trying to give her support throughout it. I think it's so easy to get so stressed out about it, and there's so much pressure that you need to commit early. You need to make that decision, like, as soon as possible before you know. And there's definitely, like, scholarships come into mind, like, big time when you're talking about that. And I think I just, you know, remind her that, like, you'll make the right decision. Like, don't stress about it. Like, whatever decision you make, like, it'll work out for you. And so I just, like, also that the competition will be there no matter what division of hockey you're in, and that she'll make a name for herself and stand out no matter, like, you know, she has that skill level that she'll be successful. So whatever decision she makes, it'll definitely be a good one.
Now, that's, I'm glad you bring that up, because there's a lot of talk right now about, you know, Division One, Division, you know, Two, Division Three, and all these kind of opportunities that athletes have. I wanted to kind of talk about your decision to go and play D1, if you will, because there are other opportunities, you know, depending on your education. I think it all gets back to education at the end of the day. But there are, as you said, great opportunities in Division One and Division Three, and just, I think the opportunities are different than they were back then, you know, especially when you talked about your mom and things like that. So are you seeing that? I mean, you've obviously got a lot of peers that, you know, had to probably make the same decision that you did. You either go D1, they either continue to play sports or they don't. I mean, that's a whole nother conversation. Is that stuff that you heard about when you were going off to college?
Yeah, definitely. I have some close friends that I competed with even in track, and a couple of them decided to go the D3 route, and that was totally good for them. I know the competition's definitely still there, like I said, no matter what. I think when I was looking at it from my aspect, I knew that I could see my own potential, and I knew how far, or I hoped to see how far I'd be able to go in javelin. And I would look at, I think it was like my junior year, I would look at USM track meet results, and I would see, like, oh, I'm a junior in high school and I would be placing second in their meets, and I was like, I want more competition. Like, I was thriving for more competition than that, and I knew I would be super successful if I did do that, and that would be awesome. But I, for some reason, always, like, want to push myself harder than I probably should sometimes. But that's when, after looking at all those track meet results all the time, I was like, no, I need to go D1, I need to go to someplace bigger. So then from there on, I was really only applying and talking to coaches from mainly D1. And I think the coaches saw that work ethic and that drive in me and that push that I had to be successful. So I think that's why they trusted me and wanted to recruit me as well.
I think that's a great tip for people out there, you know, to look at other results in college as you are in your junior and senior year to be able to see where you fit in to this world of competitive athletes that are at that next level. And that's a great tip to build it. Now, obviously, it's interesting, obviously, with javelin because you can really look at the numbers and go, okay, this is where I line up. Versus if you've got, you know, stats from playing basketball in upstate Maine compared to, you know, Texas, it's going to be a lot different to see someone, you know, go off for 40 points. So I think that's also interesting. Let's talk about potential, because I think that's something that I saw in you, and you talk about this drive and everything that you have in this work ethic. I think it's interesting that you had that, and you clearly also have a sister who has that, and she has a lot of potential. I always think back to the first game I ever saw her play, and I was with your dad, I was doing a broadcast, and I was like, Brian, is that your daughter? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, she's amazing. And so that was when I saw her potential. Have you had a moment like that when you saw her potential?
Yeah, definitely. I'd say in every single hockey game I watch, I see it. But especially growing up, we're like the most competitive family I think you would ever meet. I know we're playing like cornhole out in the front yard and we're like getting so mad at each other for not making like hole-in-ones or whatever they're called. Yeah. Like we're super competitive growing up, and to see her work so hard even like outside the family and in her own world is super inspiring. Even though she's my younger sister, she definitely has what it takes to compete at the highest level. Like there's no doubt in my mind that. But yeah, she definitely has that work ethic, and we'll take it to anybody out there.
She's a human highlight reel, I like to call her, because you never know what she's going to come up with. Yeah. And it's like you always have to be rolling whenever you're around her. So let's talk about the ways that you have now taken your brand, because that's how I first started getting to know the Bork family, was through your sister. And then we worked together, Kaylin and I, to help her really get ready to brand herself, obviously get ready for the college application process. Now, with name, image, and likeness opportunities, especially as a college athlete, you have this opportunity, and you are doing that, and you're using your name, image, and likeness. You've obviously signed on with C of E Athletics to be a brand ambassador. Talk to me about that opportunity, and that's something we talked about your mom earlier. She never had.
Right. Yeah, a super cool opportunity. I think it's sort of a unique name, image, likeness opportunity where, you know, I don't have to be posting stuff all the time. I don't have to be meeting with all these people all the time. Like, that's what comes to mind when I think of NIL, or other people do all the time. So it's super laid back, and it's a super fun environment and really good cause to be able to support and raise awareness to like recycling and earth pollution and all that stuff. So and the clothing on the other hand is awesome. I'm actually wearing the shorts right now. Yeah, very comfortable and soft, and definitely a good opportunity that I'm really lucky I have.
I'm glad we were able to have you get together with McKenna Haas and C of E Athletics, tremendous company, and she's just doing amazing things in the space. Yeah. So that's really cool. I want to talk about some of the other things that you have interest in, because I have a feeling someone might hear that on this podcast and go, we've got to talk to Alyssa Bork. So talk to me about some of the things that I know come to mind. You love cheese. Talk to me about cheese.
I do. I have a cheese stick in my lunch every single day. I think it's kind of weird, but it's very good. Lots of cheese. Grilled cheese is another big one. I could put probably any type of vegetable or sauce or anything inside a grilled cheese and it would be good. The one I've been doing right now is Chick-fil-A sauce inside my grilled cheese.
What kind of very Chick-fil-A weird. Sauce?
It's just like they have their own sauce. Okay. Yeah. And so I don't even know what's in it. I've heard it's like a ketchup mustard mixture. I don't know, but I don't like mustard. So I don't know what's in it, but it's good. Another, I put lots of like pesto, or I just like load lots of different type of cheeses inside my grilled cheese. either way, big cheese fan all around. Yeah.
Okay. Ice cream. I know that's big around the Bork family as well. Favorite flavor of ice cream?
Hands down, 100% banana ice cream. Super uncommon, sort of on the down low, I'd say.
Yeah.
I talked about it at work the other day, and people were like, what? I didn't even know they made that. And I was like, yes, you need to try it. And I told them the places where you can get banana ice cream. And I was like, but if you can't go to those places, you can go to Dairy Queen and get these banana blizzards. Super good. ice cream's definitely, Kaylin and I love banana ice cream.
Yeah.
We got to do lots of Dairy Queen trips for sure.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. let's talk about some of the other things that kind of come to your mind when it relates to name, image, and likeness. Obviously, building your brand, and I think that you mentioned it earlier with name, image, and likeness opportunities, a lot of people think of them in their own way. You know, you have your own perceptions. I like thinking about it as an opportunity to build your skills. So networking, communication skills. You've also got opportunity, obviously, to meet new people. And I think that it could open up some doors. And especially for you as, you know, wanting to get into the medical field, you know, the more medical type of people. And obviously, you're doing an internship right now. Talk to me about the opportunity to just build your network, build your brand in your industry.
Yeah, I think a lot of people look at name, image, likeness, and they're like, oh, you have to have like 30 million followers on Instagram, and you have to be super famous, super good looking, like you need to know millions of people. And it's just like, that's not the case at all. Like, start wherever you are. It's very easy to just meet lots of new people in the networking. And like, I'm doing this internship right now through Northeast Laboratory, where I've learned so many cool things about working in a lab, testing lots of different samples, met lots of people just in that work environment, which has led me to, you know, lots of new things. And then like every experience that I've had, or big or small, like I can add that to my resume. And then, you know, applying to med school, just having lots of history, lots of background, like my internship is a huge thing that'll attract a lot of people. And, you know, the bigger a name I make for myself, the more people will be able to recognize me and know who I am and know like what sort of stuff I stand for. And just, it's an awesome opportunity, definitely.
Yeah. And you've done something unique as well in this space. You've actually created a public service announcement for the Waterville Humane Society and made a $5,000 in-kind donation using your name, image, and likeness, donating your time, obviously donating your name, image, and likeness to lend that to the PSA to raise awareness, obviously, for these animals. And you have a dog, Cooper, from the Waterville Humane Society. Talk to me about that idea. And you talk about passions. That's a pretty cool project.
Yeah, very cool. Super cool opportunity to have. You know, when we first met, Kaylin and I both explained to you that we have a love for animals in general, like big or small, you know, crazy, like Cooper or not crazy. And then we were lucky enough to be able to include Cooper into our family. And then going back, I hadn't even gone to the Humane Society before. I was there outside when we got Cooper, but I haven't been inside. And then going inside and seeing all the animals and being able to do that public service announcement was a really cool opportunity, very eye-opening. Met lots of cats and little crazy dogs and very fun. But super cool opportunity, and I'm glad that I could use my name and my social media platforms to be able to create lots of awareness and raise some money donations for them, which was awesome.
Absolutely, and I always remember Muffler. I remember you holding Muffler. But then there's this picture of you, and you're holding this little orange cat, and you're feeding it. And to me, it showcases your compassion. And I think as a doctor, if I'm somebody out there that wants to see somebody in the role of a doctor and caring, it's that shot. And I didn't think of that before we even recorded the thing, but when you're sitting there cuddling, you know, that cat, that was an amazing moment. Did you feel that in that moment? I mean, that was special.
Yeah, I think I definitely like babies, you know.
Yeah.
And that cat, I think they said it was 3 weeks old.
Yeah.
Very cute. Whenever I show anybody the PSA, they're like, oh my god, are you feeding that cat? Like, that's the one thing that they notice. I'm like, yes I am, it was so cute. But I think if like people that realize my passions, like what I want to do for a career, see that video, they'll definitely notice. And I think a big thing is that like I love working with children, and I've worked with children in the past, so if people know that about me and then see this PSA, I think they'll be able to connect those dots about who I am as a person, my personality, definitely.
It was cool. I was really, really proud of you for that moment, because I think it stuck out more than most. Although the other one I will say that did stick out is we had a cat that at one point I remember jumped off one of the cubicles that were over there on the right, and he tried to jump over the fence, and then the whole fence just fell completely down.
Yeah, I feel like that happened a couple times.
And I was like, oh boy, guy. And so, yeah, but it was a rambunctious situation, but there were also some really cool moments that came from it. And like I said, kudos to you for identifying that opportunity, because, you know, that was one thing we went through with our athlete profile was, what are your passions? And you were able to identify that. So I think that was really cool. Let's close with this. I'd love to hear your best advice for today's athletes. It could be a high school, you know, student thinking about college. It could be a college student thinking about their next step in their career. It could be anything about NIL. It could be anything about your future career. What are you thinking right now is probably the best piece of advice you could give to an athlete?
I would say, I think just do what makes you happy and don't stop. I think a lot of the time, like, especially to high school athletes, we hear like, oh, like, you don't need to go to college athletics. I always remember this commercial. I don't even remember what it was for, but it was a commercial, and it's like, it showed this facts and this percentages and stuff, and it was like, only 1% of high school athletes will do college athletics. Like, go to college, study all this stuff, like, set your dreams and becoming like a 9-to-5 job, basic, you know. And I was like, okay, well, whatever. And then I obviously didn't do that. So just do what makes you happy. I think I identified that was track for me, and I just haven't stopped and continuing to realize, like, stuff that doesn't make me happy, stuff that doesn't serve me, to like unfollow that from my life, you know. Focus on what makes me happy and keep doing that.
Yeah. Oh, it's excellent. You're doing a lot of things, I can tell. You're going to do more great things, obviously. And I wanted to thank you for coming on the podcast. Thank you for being a pliable athlete. You're already inspiring, I can tell you, more and more kids, more and more athletes every day with the work you're doing, including my own daughter. So kudos to you.
Thank you. And thank you, Kelsey.
All right. So that has been Alyssa Bork from the track and field team at the University of Vermont. I'm Greg Glenn. Glad you could tune in. And stay pliable, my friends.
Thanks for listening to the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes from today's episode and catch up on recent episodes at pliablemarketing.com. We also encourage you to share topics and guest ideas by emailing our production staff at pliablemarketing@gmail.com. We love hearing from our loyal listeners and athletes who want to grow their brand. So jump in and be part of the podcast, because that's how we roll.